from newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The band Uni and the Urchins was started by bassist and singer Charlotte Kemp Mull, and in lead singer Jack James Busa, they have an androgynous alien who brings a glorious glam rock sensibility to the band's mix of psychedelia and post-punk. Uni and the Urchins have just released their debut LP. It's called Simulator, and it's out on the Chimera Music label, which is run by Kemp Mull and her partner Sean Ono Lennon. And the record is full of catchy, dancey, sometimes cheeky songs about a world made dizzy by media and technology. The band's here to play some of the new album for us. This first song is called Subhuman Suburbia.
Subhuman suburbia, summer hypothermia, with three eyes of plasticine. There go storm clouds of blue-haired ladies on freshly poured concrete. She was the prom queen. Oh, spit on my cold town is bringing me down. I guess there's no more room for one more crying clown. But there's no way out. Police hide in a cereal box. Parties with fried chicken pox, flu and paparazzi shots. With concession stands for angry mobs, Kool-Aid arsenic on the rocks. And his whole world is leaking out through the holes in his socks. Stab has placed his innocence, cause nothing can be lost. Oh, this little black old town is bringing me down. I guess there's no more room for one more crying clown. But there's no hearts will paint the White House red off with heads. And JFK's back from the dead to audit the Fed. Oh, this little black old town is bringing me down. I guess there's no more room for one more crying clown. This little black old bringing me down. And this is no more room for one more cry of love. You little black hole, you little black hole, you little black hole. One more crying,
Song's called Subhuman Suburbia from the band Uni and the Urchins, live here in the studio. Let me introduce you to the band. Charlotte Kent Mull on bass and backing vocals, Jack James Busa on lead vocals, Vlad Holiday on guitar, Jack Helfrich on guitar, Andy Oakley's behind our drum kit, David Archer playing the keyboards. And Charlotte, I hope you will take this as the compliment I intended as. That song sounds like something found in the archives of David Bowie circa 1972 or 3.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
I'm deeply offended by that.
Yeah, I think we're pretty brazenly in love with all of Bowie's work, for sure.
Yeah. Now, you know, Bowie, in his glam rock days in the 70s, that was kind of a response to the space age, you know, where there was the space race. What is this band responding? What is the impetus these days that you're responding to?
Well, for a long time, we made music that was hearkening to that era, that very like early 70s, late 60s. And something happened where we went, well, what would our heroes want to be doing now? And they would be doing the same thing, but instead of racing to the moon, this or that, now it perhaps might be AI or whatever the heck we're talking about on this record.
Right.
But, you know, just push it up a good 40 or 50 years, they'd be talking about that.
So the idea that, you know, AI and, you know, questions about what it means to be conscious, intelligent, human, you know, those sorts of, those are really big questions.
Which is interesting because I'm none of those things.
Yeah, I found him like crash landed in my backyard, actually. Well, I dusted him off and I was like, all right, you're going to be our singer now.
So, Charlotte, some people will know you from your former band, Ghost of a Sabretoothed Tiger, which you and Sean Lennon were, essentially. Mm-hmm. That band had a kind of psychedelic cast to it.
Yeah.
What was the idea when forming Uni? Now Uni and the Urchins.
Well, I did take that into consideration because I was so obsessed with the sounds of psychedelia and Floyd and the 60s that I was thinking, okay, well, I've done that. I want to do something different. And so I feel like we've just been inching up in decades, and pretty soon we're just going to be in like decades that don't exist yet. Like, so we went through, then we started with the 70s. Now we're like sort of flirting with the 80s, and then we're doing some 90s grunge as well. And then now let's just skip over to the 2000s
Are
and pretend
kidding?
They never happened.
We're going to get Outkast and Britney Spears
no,
to feature.
We'll
on
just
the next.
Skip the 2000s and skip right to 2030. And then to the, yeah, we actually used AI to write some of the lyrics on the last song we're going to play today.
On the title track simulator.
Yeah, that we used a neural network to generate words that we kind of curated.
So there are numerous references to technology dotted throughout the record, and yeah. And they're often very ambivalent takes on technology. You use yeah. it, you like it, but you're maybe not trusting it fully.
Yeah, I think I'm like a cantankerous boomer in a girl's body because, like, I'm always like kids these days with the damn TikToks and the, you know, yeah. So, like, the record is definitely a very cynical reflection on modern technology, but also sort of embracing it cheekily.
Yeah.
And I think that's generally how people are, like, the vibe of how they're feeling about technology now. Like, is it going to be good or is it going to be our demise? And we're sort of observing and narrating.
Right. Mm. And so there is a kind of post-apocalyptic flavor to a lot of this record.
Yeah. Tastes delicious.
Yeah. Although you're not necessarily sure what the apocalypse was slash is. Is it COVID? I mean, did being holed up during the pandemic for 2 years somehow change the aspect of this band and these songs?
I think that definitely it ushered it in a lot faster, our move from flesh to the virtual. I think as a result of the pandemic, everyone started communicating more virtually and more people like created avatars, and it just sort of pushed us faster into the virtual.
Right.
I think, and we're going to start moving, we're going to, I think, enter like a transhuman era pretty soon. Even my dad already has like half of his body's like bionic replaced with synthetic parts.
I mean, the track COVID's Metamorphosis, great title, by the way, for anyone who's ever studied.
I feel like you're the only one that got the reference.
Oh, yeah, no. High school Latin, man. It never leaves you.
It's only shown its use now.
Yeah. Maybe I will.
But, you know, that idea that COVID has changed everything. Perhaps we were going down that road anyway, but suddenly we had no choice and we went careening down that highway whether we were ready for it or not. That point of view seems to come through.
Running down a mountain.
Just how we live our life, really. Going the wrong way down the highway with the windows down.
So when you're not actually using a neural net to write these songs, how does the songwriting happen?
Well, you know, take some Carlos Santana songs and I flip them backwards and I scramble that around, just steal that. He wrote the idea for Popstar Supernova. I wrote most of the other songs on the record. David wrote the amazing...
David Strange?
He wrote amazing lyrics on Waiting Room and Middle Class. We wrote those together, but he wrote most of the lyrics on those, and those are some of my favorite, actually. And then I wrote the rest of the songs.
Mm-hmm. I do like how the album ends with this sort of very quotidian, just like the minutiae of middle class life, of being stuck in a waiting room, and the kind of the tiny hell of being in a waiting room.
Right, like Bukowski says, brick by brick, like hell's built brick by brick. Yeah.
See a guitarist with no hands. The intercoms we shove in. You would scream if it wasn't rude. Playing solitaire in the waiting room.
Jack Charles says that Popstar Supernova was basically an idea that you brought to the band.
Yeah.
And, you know, it again, you get a sense of the character in this song isn't totally sure if they want to be a pop star supernova or not. I mean, what's...
Oh, my God, I don't need my therapist after this one. Yeah, well, it was the beginning of COVID, and we had been on tour on and off for about 3 years. And I felt on this incline, and I felt like things were happening and dreams were coming true, and then it all shut down. And the original demo of Popstar was like this sort of like slower, very sad song. And then towards the end of our sessions, we needed like something a little more... I keep saying bangery, but like that's the only word
upbeat
that comes to
we
mind.
We don't have upbeat. A lot of upbeat songs.
And I brought this. I was like, okay, maybe this one, and we can make some sort of new wavy Depeche Mode adjacent track with it. And then I brought the idea to Charlotte, and she and I beefed up the lyrics, and yeah.
Yeah, and now it's banging.
And now it's
by the
banging,
end of it.
Yeah. Baby.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's still pretty.
Our idea of like pop is like...
Well, you know, the sad dance song is now like, that's a tried and true, that's a whole subgenre. And, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's like always been my favorite thing about Depeche Mode is that sad dance song.
Yeah. The album's called Simulator. It is out now. This song is on it, but we're going to hear a live performance from Uni and the Urchins. Here's Popstar Supernova.
Blast off, the newsman says we must vacate today. Humanitarian webcam decay. The influencers are all posing like they're Che. An apocalyptic lip kit for the end of days. Enjoy your stay, your boom is X392. Unless your social credit serves no room for you. Love you when the world is over. Forever be Josh Casanova. Lost in outer space. Makeup on my face. I'll never be a pantsuit supernova. Maria Antoinette is eating cake on Mars. Creme de la creme, they're politicians, porno stars. You cannot hear these songs in space, there's no guitar. Have fun at interplanetary whiskey bars. The earth feels colder when the blues have turned to grays. And I'm looking older from 100 million miles away. And I will love you when the world is over. Forever be a white trash Casanova. Lost in outer space. Make up on my face. Stay, your room is X392. Please follow rules and guidelines we laid out for you.
Pop star Supernova. The band is Uni and the Urchins, live in the studio. Another track from their new album called Simulator. Charlotte, is the band name Uni and the Urchins, is that a sushi joke?
I don't know if I can tell you the real innuendo of the title. It was a joke between me and this other girl. But uni is my favorite food. And
whatever were you talking about before?
Good save!
Sea urchin's my favorite food. A lot of Americans don't like it. They think it's gross, but it's that sort of orange slime.
I'm raising my hand.
Do you like it?
I hate it.
You hate it?
It is the one piece of sushi that I...
You're not alone. Most Americans hate it. Natto also, the fermented soybeans that are like really slimy. That's my other favorite food.
Yeah.
I love all that like weird like alien food.
I usually do, but uni for me turned out to be a step too far. I'm something about the phlegmy texture of it.
Well, that's what we're going for as a band. It's just like really off-putting.
Like human personification.
Yeah. Really mucusy music.
Yeah, really. Slime.
It's almost called phlegm.
Phlegm. That'd be a good band name, actually.
The Bee Silent.
So I don't know. I love uni. Actually, that's why I dyed my hair orange for a while, to match the color of sea urchin.
For folks who are wondering what the hell we're talking about, uni is the name of sea urchin sushi if you order it in a restaurant.
Yeah, it comes in like a spiky black ball. It's a little geode. There's this orange slime on the inside that tastes like butter from the gods. Not according to him.
Says Charlotte. Now, let me ask, I mean, we're shooting video, and you guys are so much fun to watch, while you're performing. But your own videos are this amazing combination of ambition, for sure, but also clearly done DIY style. So
yeah, it was a lot of work. We kind of do everything ourselves. We have a small little like amazing team of like DIY like hair and makeup and like performers. We work with like Aeon dancers and stuff.
Yeah. Guerrilla warriors, our little tribe.
Yeah, we build all the sets, we do all the styling, I do all the editing and directing, helping set up lights and stuff. So it's very it's a work of love.
Yeah.
But you know what? You were talking about like the old times, the 70s and the 80s, in New York in the 70s and early 80s, that's what musicians did. They, musicians made films and filmmakers made music and poets made music and sculptors made music. You know, it was like...
It was very incestuous, the mediums, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I guess like Warhol's a little bit of an... Well, we have a love-hate relationship with Warhol, but definitely we're trying to take a page out of his book for like the whole factory idea. Because the New York music scene is so unfortunately dead. We were talking about this the other day, that there's like such a thriving industry and like there's still money in the industry in L.A. and... Vlad's moving to Nashville for this reason, because New York is just kind of dead. It's really sad. We're still sort of living in the dream of like the Patti Smith New York, but it's not that. It's like a giant Starbucks now. It's very corporate.
So
no room for art, especially weird art like us. Like I remember like some like, huge commercial agency saw our videos and they contacted me. They were like, oh, these you're really good. Can you send us your commercial reel so we can like pitch you for like big clients? And I was like, what commercial reel? And they were like, oh, okay, never mind. Bye.
Well, you know, with Jack here, you have an endlessly malleable face and person to put on screen.
Yeah, that's very nice, John.
It's true. Well, tell us a little bit about your background.
I don't come from the world of musicians like my compadres over here do. I come from an acting background. I went to a drama conservatory in England, and I was doing that whole thing when I first moved back to the States, when I first moved to New York, and there was this like raging bleach blonde freak inside of me that needed to get out, and I stumbled upon this project and I could express myself fully.
In studying acting, had you at all studied singing?
I always sang. Like I grew up singing with my mom in the car and in church and in like musicals here and there.
I heard your demo like before we brought you in for an audition. David played me this.
You won't be able to find it.
Little blue boy or something.
Yeah, yeah,
it was so cute. It was really.
Cute.
I was like, oh, this kid has style.
I just
he
wanted
was so
to,
young.
But. I just wanted to break into that because there was something else. Something else was going on. But when we record a song or a video, I always approach it with that background, just because that's what the foundation is.
It's actually awesome that he has like an acting background, because we want to do like a Tommy rock opera like feature film, and so yeah, he's kind of like the muse of all of that.
Yeah, and each video, you seem to be a different kind of human. Sometimes
how dare you
not sometimes clearly not fully human, and it's just it,
are you referring to the mangina?
Yeah,
perhaps.
My grandma loved that one.
Yeah, she was like, you haven't got a willy.
Yeah. She watched one of our videos and she goes, well, darling, you sound real nice, but I gotta be honest with you, I had to sleep with the lights on.
Yeah, some of them are pretty weird. It's true, but you know that's what this. If I'm understanding you right, Charlotte, that's what the New York music scene is missing. It's old weird. You know.
Yeah, for
sure. The Grill Marcus's famous phrase, "Old weird America." Where's the old weird New York?
I like that. Yeah, like the taste of uni, perhaps.
No, I just can't
you
do
can't.
It. Let me ask you about, you know, it's always interesting to me when a band that writes its own material chooses to cover someone else's. And you chose Doll Parts from Hole. I want to be the girl with the most game. I love him so much, it just turns to hate. I make it so real, I am the
he really loves Courtney Love, so he was like, we gotta cover Doll. I wanted to cover Needle by Elliot Smith, Needle in the Hay, and he wanted to cover Doll Parts, so we did both.
Mm-hmm. And then Doll Parts just ended up on the
album. The actual album. Yeah.
Yeah,
the bleach blonde freak in me, a big part of that I was saying earlier, was definitely Courtney Love.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really great cover. And it is a genuine cover, unlike Amazing Grace, which is, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it's clearly referring back to the original song.
The old church song.
Yeah. Hymn for the Upside Down.
Yeah, but with keywords changed.
Yeah.
And with you know, the music is sounds like it's totally original, which is absolutely in keeping with Amazing Grace, because the Amazing Grace melody we know is like the third or fourth one from the 1800s. My fear really. That idea of kind of taking received material and making something new with it, I thought was really interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. We wanted to subvert the original version of that, and David plays this amazing, like, chromatic slide thing on it, and saxophone, like, really, and I hate saxophone, but David's so bad at it that it's great, like, because it's just, like, really squonky, like, Tom Waits atonal, kind of like 21st century schizoid man, like King Crimson sax. Like, that's the only kind of sax I like. And
the
so,
late Ian McDonald.
Yes.
Well. I like all kinds of sax. Oh, saxophone, sorry.
Can I get a little ba-dum-ba?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
He's actually always doing that in rehearsal.
Slow there, Andrew.
Actually, in rehearsal, Archer's always playing tuba sounds when we walk. So, like, give him a little sample of that. Like, so...
You need the nose whistle.
Oh yeah, we do need that.
Jokes.
Yeah, but I forgot what we were talking about. Oh yeah, Amazing Grace, and so we all grew up in church. Also, like, we have that sort of like, like love hate relationship with that world. But you love the aesthetic of Catholicism.
I love the aesthetic of Catholicism.
And
I love the music too. I remember being like. First of all, I really liked wearing a suit when I was 4, and I'd come downstairs and be like, look at me.
I've arrived.
Yeah, and then they'd come
I'm a pop star supernova.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll never be one at this point. But and they'd come down at these like amazing hymns, and I was like, that is so fucking lit. Like, I was like, I love this music. My mom was like, we got a weirdo.
Yeah.
So you grew up obviously in the South from
I grew up in Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Texas and Georgia. So we both grew up in the South.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Which denomination church? I went to like a Baptist.
I went to a Catholic church.
And Presbyterian.
Catholic all the way, baby.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Yeah. I love the Bach choirs. That's like what inspired Brian Wilson.
I never heard a Bach choir in my church growing up.
Did you go Catholic?
I did.
Oh, they had some amazing choirs.
Maybe you should go Bach and check it out.
Yeah.
All right. And on that note, shall we hear the title track from Simulator? Now, this is the one that you used AI to help for the lyrics, right?
Just for the lyrics, yeah. I think they actually have AI that generate music as well.
They do.
Which, you know, I feel a little morally ambivalent about.
Yep.
But we had a lot of fun using it for the word salad and then, like, trying to arrange that into a rhyming schema.
Okay. Let's hear a live performance. The band is Uni and the Urchins, and the song is the title track from their new album called Simulator.
Cheetos on Mars, spiders and garter belts, play croquet with the stars. If we sever our heads, we could last forever. Live stream in between to digital death. Suicide radio.
crying grape soda bar, cryogenic crypto. But you spent it all on blow, now you're all alone. Junkie Junta.
That is Simulator. It is the title track of the new album by Uni and the Urchins, the band performing live here in our WNYC studios. Charlotte, you mentioned the AI program used for the lyrics, not for the music. When you use an AI program, you don't just say, like, Siri, write me a song. You have to give it something. You have to put something in, right?
Yeah, you have to give it prompts. That's the term, prompts. And learning how to control what it spits out is kind of like learning how to speak robot, because it has this like vast Rolodex of like internet references that it draws upon. It's kind of like the collective unconscious, and you have to like figure out how to word your prompts specifically to get the results you want. So there's still a human element, even with like visual AI art and everything. You have to like figure out really good prompts basically, and how to word it, like the way in which you word it will trigger different like associations. So it is a lot like a brain in that sense, the way you have like subliminal associations with words. It'll just start connecting it to different aesthetics. Like, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Laurie Anderson showed me last year on her computer, somebody in Australia had input every lyric she had ever written, every like speech or talk she had ever given.
Oh, and it figured out how to write like Laurie Anderson.
Right. Wow. And also her husband Lou Reed did the same thing for Lou Reed, so it could write in the style of either of them.
Totally.
And then the weird one was number three, which was a combination of Lou and Laurie.
Oh, that's cool.
That's where it starts getting really interesting.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. So I'm just wondering what the prompts, you know, what kind of input.
Oh, yes. Sunshine, rainbows, daffodils.
Puppy just, dogs.
Yeah, put them on. Put them on.
I don't remember at the time. I'm pretty sure it was just sort of like bleak technological.
I think we put like fashion
dystopian
words into like leather and like.
We
tried a bunch of
things. I don't think we ended up using
them,
but
it
generated
what
some
it.
Very like S&M stuff for that.
It essentially sparked like the creative whatever of writing that song, like Bowie would do with cut ups, like put things in. And then a lot of the AI would bring back was like, the AI needs some therapy. It's really, really depressed.
Yeah.
And we sort of.
Well, you could actually select
together.
The mood of it, like on this particular one. You could have it be neutral, unhappy, happy, very happy, it was interesting.
Ecstatic.
Mm. Yeah, it was, we did a mixture of them. I tend to like neutral. Mm-hmm. I don't like things when they're overtly emo or when they're like too happy. Like, I think sort of neutral stance at looking at the world is always the best take.
Right, right. Jack, you were saying before the pandemic, it seemed like things were on a roll and things were happening and then mm-hmm. everything stopped. Now we're mostly back.
Yeah, I feel pretty back in the habit.
So what's next? Touring, will that happen?
There's some things on the horizon. I know we're playing with our friends the Dandy Warhols on March 3rd at Elsewhere. Oh. And we will be in South by Southwest for a nice homecoming.
We're doing the Levitation showcase that our friends the Black Angels throw. And then we're plotting a feature film with our friend Rich Ragsdale.
Yes.
Nice.
And then the world.
And then the world. Uni and the Urchins is the band. The album is called Simulator. It is out now on Chimera Music. And to all of you, thank you so much for coming in and playing for us. This has been great fun.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys. I also really love these microphones because I've gotten into ASMR lately. The people are really into the sound of like saliva crackling.
For the record, Uni is disgusting. Saxes are great. ASMR is awful. Just to set you straight, Charlotte. Let me thank our crew, our hardworking engineer today, Irene Trudell, our
technical director,
assisted by Asher Berkson Gold. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Video shot today by Joe Enright. Our video producer is Eric Weber. I'm John Schaefer. Watch those videos on the New Sounds YouTube channel or right here on the website at newsounds.org.
I swear, St. Paul, you've got some girl showing your